The Lord has us in a series where we're studying the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' first sermon that's recorded in the Word of God. And we're calling this series, Live Upside Down. And as we study, we see more and more why we're calling it Live Upside Down. Because God's ways are completely upside down from the ways of this world. Or should we say the ways of this world are just flat out upside down, twisted and everything else. The Sermon on the Mount that we are studying is the core reality of God's kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount, as we've talked about, is the constitution of God's kingdom. It reveals to us what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now, no longer a citizen of this world, but a citizen of the kingdom of God. The Sermon on the Mount is a picture of Jesus' worldview, how he sees the world and how he sees us. And again, it's a call to live upside down. We're in the Beatitudes. Jesus is teaching us what it looks like to enjoy true happiness. How many of you want to experience true happiness in your life? Not the fake, artificial, Splenda, you know, saccharine type stuff, but I mean the true, real deal. Each of these eight Beatitudes begins with the word blessed. And the Greek word that's used there, the word that Jesus spoke, was Makarios. Makarios means happy in God. So where we see that word blessed or blessed, what Jesus is saying is happy in God. And then he goes through eight different characteristics, eight different realities that if we embrace and experience, we're going to find happiness. God-sized, God kind of happiness. Today we're in the fourth Beatitude where Jesus makes this statement. He says, happy in God are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The King James, the NIV, those versions say, and they shall be filled. They will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they're going to be filled. Title of the sermon, I went with, happy in God are the hungry. Here's the picture I found to kind of represent that. Happy in God are the hungry. That kid wants some food on his plate, and he wants it now. Happy in God are the hungry. We're going to answer three questions this morning. Jesus is telling us that we're supposed to hunger and thirst. So question number one that we're going to dive into is, what does it mean to hunger and thirst? I went to the dictionary and found these definitions. To hunger, it means it's a craving or an urgent need for food or some specific nutrient. To thirst, it's very similar. It means to crave vehemently and urgently, to long for something. We're called to hunger and to thirst. When we speak of hungering and thirsting, we think of food and water, right? And we all know this, that if we don't have food, if we don't have water, we're going to die. There's only so long we can go without it before we die. And I'm just going to share this with you because you're my church family, that's how my grandfather just passed away, because of a lack of food and a lack of water. He got to the point where he could no longer eat, no longer drink. And because of that lack of water, that lack of ability to quench his thirst, he passed away. We need food and water because we all hunger and thirst. We got to have it. In America, we don't always understand the kind of desperation that true hunger and true thirst really brings. Here's a picture that I want to show you just to remind us what real hunger and thirst can look like. A third of the world is dealing with this kind of hunger and thirst on continents like Africa and Asia, and even over in the Middle East, dealing with this kind of hunger and thirst. In Ghana, we've helped out with that as a church. The school that we've helped build, we have a computer lab there now, which seems crazy, but they need that in order to advance into this 21st century. And we've provided a computer lab. We've provided modern restrooms over there. The best in the whole region are at the school there. We've provided help and assistance so that they could grow a poultry farm and a maize farm, so that now they're essentially self-sustaining, and they're providing two meals a day to the students that come And some of those students are orphans. Some of those students, those are the 2 meals they get that day and really the 10 meals they get that week. There's real hunger and thirst that's out there. And we don't always understand that. So sometimes when we read Jesus' word, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, we go, yeah, we just get that rumbling in our tummy because, you know, we ate five hours ago and it's time to eat again. Jesus, what he's really referring to here when he talks about hunger and thirst, though, it's a kind of emptiness that we can find in our spirits. He's talking about a kind of emptiness that so many people are walking around in their souls, in their hearts. They're just empty, empty, empty. And they need to be filled, but filled with what? Jesus is saying that we need to fill our emptiness, the emptiness of our souls, the emptiness of our lives, with righteousness. We sang about, I'm desperate for you earlier. I've been studying this for the last week and a half. And so as I was singing that, it was hitting me hard. We are desperate people. And our desperation can be quenched. We can be filled. Our emptiness can be filled. And Jesus says, with righteousness is what it needs to be filled with. You need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Satisfy your hunger and thirst with righteousness. So that brings us to question number two. What is righteousness? I'm going to cut right to the chase here and say there is only one who is righteous. Only one. His name is Jesus. As I was studying this time through and really wrestling and enjoying reading the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord was showing me very clearly, Eric, righteousness is me. I am the righteous one. And so I looked through the Bible and I found over 70 references to God being referred to as the righteous one. Righteousness. He is righteousness. God himself is righteousness. There's no other righteousness anywhere else. You can't manufacture it. You're not born with it. It's nowhere to be found except in God himself. He is the righteous one. God. It says in Exodus 9:27, the Lord is the righteous one. In Lamentations 1:18, Psalm 11:7, the Lord is righteous. Daniel 9:14, for the Lord our God is righteous. Psalm 71:19, there's a song that a lot of us like that comes right from this. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? There's no one. He is righteousness. So in this fourth beatitude, what I'm really seeing Jesus telling us is that we will find true happiness in God when we hunger and thirst for Him. I mean, when we hunger and thirst for God. Happy in God are those who hunger and thirst, who are desperate for God. King David understood this truth. He got it. Man after God's heart. King David understood it. Look with me at Psalm 42, the first two verses of that psalm. It says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? It's a man who's longing, who's craving, who needs God, who longs to be in His presence, who longs to be fed by Him because he knows nothing else. Nothing else will satisfy. God's good. How many of you know that? See, God's good because He's telling us in this fourth beatitude that when we hunger and thirst for Him, that we will be satisfied. He didn't say, you know, hunger and thirst for righteousness and you might be satisfied. You might get lucky and find a little bit of satisfaction. No, He doesn't play games with us. I know some of you like to mess around sometimes and have fun. And so you might have a little doggy biscuit. You know, when your dog comes running in the room, wants a little doggy biscuit or maybe a piece of bacon, because that just drives him crazy, right? Drives me crazy. You could do this with me, and I'd probably just go, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, and you'll kind of put it out in front of them, and then they'll jump at it, and you'll pull it away, and you'll see them jump really high, and you'll laugh, and you'll have fun. Then they'll do it again, they'll jump, and ultimately you give it to them. But, you know, you kind of are playing a game with them, and here is this awesome, you know, piece of bacon, and they're jumping after it, and they're jumping after it. But God doesn't play games with us that way. When he says, happy in God are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. He means he's going to give it to you. He's going to fill you. He's not going to play games with you. That's just how good God is. If you ever feel like you're being strung along and you have this thing that thinks that you think God's playing games with you, or it's not the Lord. There's something else in that. There's something else going on. Just get with God. He'll fill you. He'll satisfy you. So that's question number three. How are we satisfied? How are we satisfied? What does it mean to be satisfied, first of all? There can be different definitions, I guess, but what I see satisfaction is to be satisfied means to be gratified to the full. I mean to the full, not just a little bit, not pacified, but gratified and satisfied to the full, to cause to be happy or to be pleased, to have a need or a want fulfilled. It's even coming to me, have an itch scratched. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not just kind of a little bit, but I mean, anyway. To be satisfied. And we understand that everyone hungers and thirsts to be satisfied. Everybody does. Everyone is looking to be satisfied. The problem is not everyone's looking in the right place for their satisfaction. They're looking for the wrong things, and so they're getting filled with all the wrong stuff. I love to watch football. Not the other Saturday where Baylor lost. That was a little unfortunate. But I love to watch football. The issue is the football games are great, and then the commercials come up. You can't even watch most commercials today. They're just so sinful. They're so full of sin and lust and trash, frankly. So you need to have something to where you can pause it and then shoop. Fast forward, because you don't need to fill yourself with that. But here, they put those commercials out there. What they're putting on the TV, what they're feeding the world, is what the world thinks is going to satisfy them. The reason they're putting that trash out there is because people are trying to satisfy themselves and to fill their emptiness with what? You see them promoting wealth. You see them promoting pleasure. And if you just have more stuff, you're going to be happy. If you're just better looking, you're going to be happy. That's going to solve all the problems. You know, alcohol, drink alcohol. I mean, I saw this one lately that I was just like, you're kidding me. Anyway, popularity, stuff, and all that, that's going to satisfy you, but it doesn't. I mean, we've seen even this year, several very famous people, they have all the fame. Very wealthy, they have all the wealth. Everyone thinks they're all that. Everyone looks up to them. Everyone thinks they're wonderful. They should be satisfied. They have everything that the world says will satisfy them. They've got it. And then more than enough of it. And they're miserable to the point of taking their own lives. They're miserable, completely dissatisfied, completely empty where it really matters. But we're all looking to be satisfied. You could say they can't get no satisfaction, and I have to play this song because it came up. No, okay. You can fade that out. But I tried. Okay, let me tell you a story about how I tried recently to get some satisfaction. Just hang with me here. Just listen to the whole story. So it was Tuesday night, this past Tuesday night, and Velvet and I were at a pastor's conference. And we just finished. It was the last gathering of the pastor's conference. And we said goodbye to all of our friends and all of that. And on the way back to the hotel, I'm like, you know what? I want to get some satisfaction. No, I'm not going there. I want to get some satisfaction. I need a milkshake. Okay? I need a milkshake. That's going to top it all off. That's going to make the day perfect. If I have a milkshake, it's going to fill me up to the full, and it's going to be awesome. So we found this place that was still open at just right before 10. We got there just in time. I got the large Oreo milkshake, you know, wow, you know, filled up with whipped cream on top and chocolate and the whole works. I ate the whole thing before we got back to the hotel. I mean, I scarfed it. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. The problem is, about 20 minutes later, not only was I not satisfied, I felt miserable, man. It like went right to the bottom of my gut. It was not good. It was hard to sleep even that night. You know, we look for the, in the wrong places for satisfaction. I'll tell you what, for me, sometimes that's where I go, to food, to get satisfied. And it never satisfies. It just makes me heavier, and then I got to diet, and then it's real bummer. But everyone's looking for satisfaction. Really. But Jesus is turning the world's thinking upside down and says the only way to be satisfied is to be filled with God. It's the only way you're going to really be satisfied. I should have just gone back to the hotel and said, Velvet, let's pray. And let's just have a worship service right there in the Best Western. That would have brought some satisfaction. Maybe even touched somebody's heart who was in the room next door. The Lord's just telling me all this right now. So I'm looking back going, oh, man. I guess I know what to do next time. Hold me accountable, honey. Everyone wants to be filled, but I fear that this is what we do too often. I want you to picture yourself as a glass, an empty glass. And you're busy with life, and that's not hard to imagine. Everyone here is busy with life. And you're going through life, and you got the next thing to do, and the next thing to do, and the next thing to do, and you're this glass. And there's this faucet that you see there. This faucet that is pouring out water. I mean, it's on full blast, pouring out cool, like ice cold. It's like supernatural ice cold water coming out of this faucet that's perfectly clear. That faucet and that water represents God Himself. But I fear that this is what we do too often in our busyness. We're empty, and we pass by that faucet, and we just kind of walk under it. We get a little bit of water. Just a little bit, and we think, okay, I got God, I got God, I got God. Now I got to get going, and I get busy with life, and I'm busy, busy, busy. I'm operating on nearly empty, and that stuff is like going away, and it's disappearing fast. So, oh, I better run under that faucet again, and we get a little more God, and we think, okay, I got God, I still got Him. Yeah, okay, there's a little bit in there. Okay, I'm going to keep going. All along, we're going through life nearly empty. Yeah, we got a little bit of water in us as a glass, but we're mostly empty. And we know it, and we can never be fully satisfied. We can never drink to the full because there's only so much there. And so we just go grab a little bit more. God is saying, come, be happy. Hunger and thirst for me. Sit with me. Sit under me. Stay in my presence and let me fill you like this picture here to the full, to the overflow. I created you to be filled. I created you for that right there. Not for the just occasional pass under and get a little drop here and there. I created you to sit with me and allow me to pour myself in you to where you overflow, to where you can drink to the full at all times. That's when you're going to be happy in me, to be filled with God. Jesus has promised us that He will fill us. And that we will be satisfied when we truly hunger and thirst for Him in this way. And how did He fill us? He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit so that we could be filled with God. Living Holy Spirit-filled lives is living a life filled with God. That's how you live filled with God. Experiencing the fullness that God has for us at all times. I want to just walk this out really quick here so that we understand how this works. So that we know how to be filled with God and we know what it looks like. Because we can talk about we need to be filled with God. But what are we really talking about? Let's get a little more detail here. I know you think He did His 3 points. We're almost done. I'm not quite done yet. Hang with me. This is getting really even more exciting. That was just all the setup. Now we're getting to the meat of it right here, okay? You ready? We're just getting going. But I won't go 2 hours. I did do my homework and I tightened it up a little bit. So check this out. You want to be filled with God, then you want to live a Holy Spirit-filled life. And that's what Jesus has given you, is he's given you the opportunity, the ability to be fully satisfied and filled with God. And this is how he did it. Look with me at John 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts," and he's talking to even you right now, "if you're thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water," not drops of living water, not just a little bit here and there, but rivers of living water. What is Jesus talking about? Now he explains what he just said. This is what I'm saying. He says, now this he said about the Spirit, capital S. He said this about being filled with God, about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we move forward into Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. And while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized, you will be filled, you will be satisfied with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus is showing us how to be filled with God, how to live every day filled with God. Not just in your mind, not just positionally, not just theologically, not just doctrinally, but reality. Being filled with the living God. He's showing us how this process happened. And so then we jump forward to Acts chapter 4, and we're at the day of Pentecost. They were gathered together. They were hungering and thirsting. Read it. They were the people of God were together. I never want to pass up that this time to say there is something God does when we are together that doesn't happen when we're alone. And some people might get offended by that, but read God's word, and nearly every single miraculous thing that happens is when God's people are gathered together. Doesn't mean that miraculous things don't happen when you're alone. It doesn't mean, like Peter and John, you won't be hanging out with your brother walking down the street and the Lord come upon you and you heal somebody. That doesn't mean that you won't see that it won't happen. But I'm just talking about there are things that we see in God's word that the word of God points out that they were together, that this happened in the gathering of the saints. That's why we're so encouraged to not forsake the gathering of the saints, because God moves in special, powerful, unique ways when the saints are gathered together. So on that day, they were all gathered together in that place. And the place was shaken, it says. And they were what? They were all filled. They didn't just see some cool things happen. They didn't just observe God move. We got to get out of the mentality as a church that we're there to watch God move. I want to see God do something. How about I want God to fill me to the full and use me and be the miracle? I want to be that filled person and not just be a guy sitting in a seat at a movie theater watching all the action happen. I want to be part of the action. That's, we were created for action. This is what we were created for. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Notice, to be filled with God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God with us. Our Heavenly Father is in heaven right now. He is actually located right now in heaven, sitting on his throne. Jesus, we just read about it, he ascended. And he, the man Christ Jesus, is at the right hand of the Father in heaven right now. But he did not leave us without God. For the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is still with us. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, God, to be with us. And not just to be around us, but to be in us and to fill us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, the temple was filled with the presence of God, was filled with God. We were created or reborn, recreated in Christ Jesus to be filled, to be that vessel, to be that glass that's filled with the Holy Spirit. So to want to be filled with God, to be satisfied with God, is to want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you really want it, then you want all that that looks like. And you want all that that means. It's like saying, hey, I'm that glass and you're that water and I want you to pour into me, but I don't want H2O. I want just H-O. I don't want the 2-O part. I don't want the H. I just want the O. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, so I'm just making this up, all right? But you just want a part. You like part of the makeup of who God is pouring in you, but you don't want the other part. And we can't be that way. That's not how it is. Do you want to be filled with God? Because if you do, then you are saying, I want all that is and all that means and all that looks like. Bring it. Bring it. Too many people are like, I want all of God. I want to be filled with God. But that part right over there kind of looks silly. And I don't want to be thought of as silly. So just kind of keep that part away from me. Well, you know what? You don't want to be filled with God. And now you're creating a God in your own image, which is kind of a bad thing to do. I read about that somewhere. So you see where this is going? This is called surrendered life. This is called He is God. And I'm desperate for Him. Fill me. Fill me. Fill me. God speaks about what it means and what it looks like to be Spirit-filled. For instance, the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans said this. I'm just going to run through these quickly. Romans 8. For if you live according to the flesh, you will surely die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So being filled with God, being Spirit-filled, Spirit-led person, one of the evidences of that is that you're going to start seeing that sin doesn't have the control over your life that it used to have. And that you're going to walk Spirit-filled now, where God is filling you and not the world is filling you. So you're going to be able to crush those things that used to crush you. Crush them. That's evidence of being Spirit-filled. Another evidence, let's jump to Ephesus. Paul went to Ephesus, and he wrote this to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 18. He says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And what does that look like to be filled with the Spirit? Here's another evidence of what it looks like to be a Spirit-filled, somebody who's allowing themselves to be filled with God, like that picture of that glass is sitting under the faucet, God, and allowing Him to pour Himself into us. What does that look like? One of the evidences of that is that we would address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with our hearts, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when we're filled with God, when we allow ourselves to sit under there and be filled with Him, it will move us. It will move us to worship. We won't be able to contain it anymore. We won't be able to go through a day without saying, God, You're good. I love You. Glory to Your name. You are worthy. You are worthy. Because when we're filled with God, that's just what happens. It just happens. You want to be a worshiper? Is it hard for you to worship sometimes? Is it hard for you to go there? Do you just feel like you could go a year without worship and you just assume that would be the way it is? You want to come into church after worship because, I don't know about that. You know what? Go sit with God. Let Him fill you. Let Him fill you. And you'll just start seeing yourself, whoa, become a worshiper. Another evidence of what it looks like and means to be filled is in Galatians 5. Paul talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring or the result of being Spirit-filled. And our very character, our nature, the way we treat one another, the way we live life begins to change. And we start seeing love, joy, peace, patience, goodness and gentleness, self-control. All of these things start to show themselves in our lives. Where it used to be, we were just frustrated old mean boogers. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, things start changing. Why? Not because we've hunkered down and we're going to make it happen and I'm going to be a good Christian man. I tried that. Didn't work. But it's because. Fill me, God. And we allowed the Holy Spirit to come and baptize us and to fill us and to fully satisfy us. And satisfied people love. And satisfied people experience peace and joy. And satisfied people walk in self-control and humility and patience. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Final thing I want to talk about is in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul also discusses another aspect of what it means to be filled with God and what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he encouraged the believers to eagerly desire the gifts that God has for them, the gifts that the Holy Spirit has for them, that he has for the church. See, as we're filled with God, his gifts will begin to become evident and active in our lives. It will just happen. For he's the one who apportions them. He's the one who causes them to come forth. And he does that through his people and his church that are filled with him. You see, a church that just wants to go through the motions, just wants to kind of pass under that faucet every once in a while just to get that good feeling and to be like, oh yeah, 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 but doesn't want to be filled with God, they're not going to experience these beautiful gifts. But the church that is willing to sit and allow him to fill and to baptize them will. That's what God's word is saying here. And that'll bring happiness and satisfaction and health and life to the body. I just want to point these out because every time I think about them, I get excited. And we're seeing this happening in our church family. We're seeing prophecy and speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. We're seeing healing of the sick. We're seeing so much of that lately. A lot of that's coming through our prayer meetings, our prayer gatherings, our life group gatherings, people just being healed. It's incredible. Miracles being performed. Words of knowledge being spoken. It's just even happened this morning. And even casting out of demons. The power of God starts to show up. Not because anybody whips it up or plays the right song at the right, you know, this or that. No, but because God has filled his people. And that's an outflow. That picture of that glass was overflowing. That's the overflow of God. The power of God. The presence of God. It's a beautiful, powerful, wonderful thing. So Jesus is telling us in this fourth beatitude, when we hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, for him dwelling in us, that we will be filled with him. It means you won't walk around empty any longer. You won't be running on fumes any longer, but will be filled with God. And when we eagerly desire to be those spirit-filled people, God will not disappoint us, but he will fill us. And we will start seeing worship rising up. We'll start seeing sin losing its grip on our lives. We'll start seeing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and the others just happening in our lives. And believe me, I want all of you to experience that because you're a lot easier to get along with when you're displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Anyway. And we'll start seeing God's gifts being used to build up his body and to glorify him. Because in the end, that's what it's about. Being satisfied in him and glorifying him. I want to tell you, just to so you know where I'm coming from, on especially on the gifts part of this. A lot of people have a differing opinions on this. But just so you know where I come from and leadership comes from here, is that we believe that the Lord has these gifts available to the entire body of Christ. And that we should eagerly desire them all. And that he will give them to us as he sees fit so that the body is encouraged and so that he is glorified. I had an experience on my living room floor. Many of you have heard the whole story. I'm going to be brief. But I finally just surrendered to the Lord. It was only 10 years ago. And it was about when I was age 12. I'm just kidding. But it was 10 years ago and I was on my living room floor. And I was crying out to God. And you know what I finally, what really happened was I said, okay, God, I got nothing. You're right. I'm wrong. I surrender. And then I did. I said, fill me. And I asked for the Holy Spirit to come and to baptize me. Really re-baptize me, because I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at age 11. But I neglected it, and I just became that cup that just every once in a while went under. I was empty. And when the Holy Spirit came and filled me, things started to change in my life, and they changed fast. One of the first evidences was I had an understanding of God's Word that just like went from, you know, second grade to, a lot higher than that, very quickly. That was the first evidence, being able to understand the Word of God. Sin, within 2 weeks, a sin that had gripped me for so many years of my adult life, broken. I had to walk it out. I had to walk in faith and in trust. And I had to pray and quote 1 Corinthians 10:31 and Titus 2:11 through 13 all the time and believe on God's Word on all those things. But it broke. The power was broken. I started to see the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. It was a while later that I really got back my prayer language and began speaking and praying and enjoying being able to commune with God with the gift of tongues. That happened quite a while later. But it came when God wanted it to come. Eagerly desire all that God has for you. He will never disappoint. Don't compare yourself to others. Just go after God and let Him fill you the way He wants to fill you, because He knows you better than anybody else. He knows you better than you even know yourself. And He'll do the perfect job at filling you in just the right way. We were created to find satisfaction in Him. Chief end of man, as it says in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. And let me say it this way, to be satisfied by Him forever. We were created to be satisfied by God. We were created to be filled with God, not to just run the rat race and hope we make it to the finish line and then go to heaven and finally be filled. We were created to be filled with God today, right now. He loves you that much. And I'll say, when we find our satisfaction and our filling in Him, it brings joy to our Heavenly Father. Ben just had a birthday, and he ate so much food. It was unbelievable. But you know what? It brought joy to see him being satisfied with some of his favorite stuff and filling himself up with his favorite stuff. Your Heavenly Father is so satisfied and so filled with joy when you are being filled with Him, with the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you to stand up. I want to give you a chance right now just to listen to the Lord, to spend some time with Him. Just close your eyes, bow your heads. Are you hungering and thirsting for more of God? Maybe you've been seeking some other things to satisfy you. And you know what? To be honest, most of us have been. We've been looking to some other things to kind of augment, to kind of add to. But you're still feeling empty. Are you ready to allow God to really fill you? Maybe you've never known God. Maybe you've never experienced Him. Maybe you don't know salvation and forgiveness that God has for you, but you're wanting that today. And you're ready to surrender and let Him fill you and let Him satisfy you. Maybe you're hungering for really that filling. Maybe you're that glass that just has been passing under that faucet just occasionally. And you're ready to be filled. You're ready to stop accepting, you know, just a little bit, just the drops. You want the flow of God in your life. You want all that He has for you. And I would imagine that's most of us in this room right now, that we want all that God has and that we want to stop settling. I want to encourage you, what we want is we want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled. We want to be Spirit-filled people. That's what we really want. We want all that that means and all that that looks like. That's what we're longing for. I just want to give us the opportunity to respond to that right now. If you want more of God, if you're in a position in your life where you're ready to be filled with God and you're tired of the less than, I would like for us, just as a physical representation of that, to raise our hands up. You don't have to pull them all the way up. They can even be down, but just in a posture where you're ready to receive. Just almost like it looks like you're becoming that glass ready to be poured into. God doesn't make things hard. I just feel like what we're supposed to do now is just sincerely cry out to God and say, "Fill me, God." Just ask Him. Mean it, though. Fill me, God. Fill me, God. Baptize me, Holy Spirit. Bring your fullness, God. Just cry out to Him, pray. Seek Him. Desire Him. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me, God. Fill me, God. Fill me, Lord. Fill me. God, You satisfy. You satisfy, God. You satisfy me. God, fill me. Fill me, God. Fill me. Fill me. I long for You. I hunger and I thirst for You, God. I hunger and I thirst for You as in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. I hunger and I thirst for You. You are the only one who will satisfy me. Fill me, God. Holy Spirit, teach me. To be one who allows You to fill me. Guide me in it, God, because I want it. I want it, God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up. God, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up.